Well, tonight I want to just introduce a subject to you that some of you may be familiar with. I was grateful when I came to Crooked Creek Baptist Church, and that was when I was here meeting with the pulpit committee. That was back in May of 2016. It's hard to believe. These 8 years have just been like a blink in many ways. And some of you like, it hadn't felt like a blink to us, Pastor. No, but it's gone by very quickly, and God has taught us so much. We've grown as a family, spiritually and physically. We've had a couple more children since coming here, and the Lord has just been so good. And He continues to grow us in grace. And you as a church have just been wonderful to us. We have zero complaints and zero anything negative, nothing negative to say about our local church family. And we love you and thank God for you. But when I came, one of the things the pulpit committee said that they had implemented back when Pastor Miles was here was every 4 years just giving some extra time for a rest, a sabbatical. And I remember even talking to Pastor Miles about it and said how much it impacted his family, how much it helped them as they did have that time away. And I didn't, you know, put a whole lot of thought to it, but back in 2020, after we'd been here for 4 years, we did take some extra time off. But because of the craziness of COVID, we sort of chopped it up a little bit and took it in smaller segments. And I enjoyed that time off. We took advantage of it. But one of the things I realized is that I don't think it had the same effect as Brother Miles would take a month off and he just took it all at one time. And that, I think, does make a difference because, you know, Sunday's always coming for preachers. And you are always thinking about Wednesdays, of course, too, and what and the messages and everything in between. And so this year I was talking to Joanna. I said we're going to do our best to take it in one chunk of time and to be able to have some time off. But I was really thankful because I had not heard much of that when I was a missionary. Thank you, brother. When I was a missionary on deputation, I did not hear much of it. But since then, I've been taught and mentored along these lines. And so I want to share a message tonight that was given actually by a friend of mine and mentor of mine now. I met him about a year ago. I met him actually about the same time you met him. Dale Cunningham, he came last year and did our leadership training. How many that were here remember Brother Dale coming in? Okay, he's just a great guy. He just retired in January. I want to have him come back and preach because he just came and taught the leadership training for that Saturday. He was actually a fill-in. The original guy couldn't do it, so Brother Dale came in. He did a wonderful job encouraging the leadership in the church, Sunday school teachers and committee leaders. And it was excellent. And I asked him, and one of the first things he asked me, and of course this is a seasoned pastor. He's about the age of you know, he and his wife are the age of close to my parents' age. But he said, one of the first things he said, Pastor, have you taken a sabbatical? And I was thinking, well, I have not in 4 years, a little over 3 years, but the church does give that. He said, excellent. He said, boy, you got a great church, brother, your church. I said, I sure do. He said, I can't tell you how important it is. He said, I've been doing them now, and I'm encouraging churches as I go around and preach to consider this. And so you're already doing it. You were doing it when I came. And so he gives some points here that I think are very helpful. And like, if you're not familiar with it, why would you give the pastor extra time? Everybody needs rest, and that's all very true. But he brings out some points that I feel, as a seasoned pastor, he is pastoring, you know, 30 years, understands the dynamics of a pastoral ministry. So you found your place there in 1 Kings chapter 19. You may be familiar with this account. This is, of course, Elijah, the prophet of God. We're going to look at a time of discouragement in his life. But before we do, remember the context before. He had just experienced a mountaintop experience in his ministry. He had just experienced a time that where he saw the power of God fall and with the prophets of Baal there present, and God just showed up in a very miraculous way, and this man was just wonderfully encouraged, and he was full of faith. But that changed so quickly. That changed so quickly in chapter 19. So, and Ahab, the Bible says in verse 1, told Jezebel all that Elijah had done. The news is getting back to Jezebel. And with all how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah saying, so let the gods do to me. There's a mockery of the God of the Bible, the God of Israel. And more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. So how did Elijah respond? Well, the Bible says, and when he saw that, he arose and went for his life. That verse right there describes a man who was struck by fear. As I was mentioning this morning, remember one of the devil's tactics is intimidation, right? Discouragement. Discouragement. And it says here, and he came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die, and said, it is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. With the Lord's help tonight, I just want to preach this message and these notes in a way that helps us understand how the pastor can avoid discouragement. Would you pray with me? Father, I just want to come to you this evening. I want to thank you for your word. I want to thank you for all that you're doing in our lives and in our church. And I pray that, Spirit of God, you will just speak and minister to us. We are very thankful for the word of the living God. We're thankful for the local church. And Lord, I just pray that I could be helpful tonight. I thank you for letting me pastor a church that loves you, loves your word, and loves your people, and loves their pastor. I don't deserve that, but Lord, I am so very thankful. And Joanna and I count it a wonderful honor and privilege to be here at Crooked Creek Baptist Church. And I'm thankful that my children have a local church like this to grow up in. And Lord, we are imperfect, and they are so patient with us, and I'm so thankful for that. And I just ask that you would lead us even tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As I've read this passage, we're reminded of that anybody is susceptible to discouragement. Anybody. But we understand that pastors are very much susceptible to discouragement, even though they're the spiritual leaders of the church. The statistics tell us that they also are very vulnerable. 1,500 pastors leave the ministry every month due to moral failure, spiritual burnout, or contention in their churches. A high percentage of pastors' marriages will end in divorce. 70%, this is astonishing, 70% of pastors constantly fight depression. Now, I am not fighting depression. God is, we are encouraged. Do I have days of discouragement like you do? Yes, of course. I'm made of the same stuff you are. Do I have days of doubt? Yes, there are days like that. And so I'm not saying I'm currently in that percentage, because by the grace of God, we're not. But I will say this. I believe that what we're talking about tonight can help prevent those things happening. Pastors testify that the role can be tough. 84% say they're on call 24 hours a day, which I believe is part of the job. I knew that. It's like when you sign the dotted line in the military, as you come to a pastor, you're on call 24 hours, 7 days a week, even on vacation. There's an aspect of your own call. As a pastor, you just can't tell the people, look, I'm not, even if it's a dire situation, a dire emergency, don't count on me. You just can't do that unless the pastor is incapacitated. 80% expect conflict in their church. 54% find the role of a pastor frequently overwhelming. 53% are often concerned about their family's financial security. 48% often feel the demands of ministry are more than they can handle. He mentions this: Baptists are behind some denominations in caring for their pastors, physical and spiritual warfare, many even having a sabbatical policy in their constitutions. This idea of a pastoral sabbatical, you are already doing, so I'm thankful for that. I'm not convincing you of anything this evening. Just bringing out some points that I thought were helpful from a seasoned pastor like Dale Cunningham. You know, the definition of sabbatical is found in Genesis. We know on the seventh day God ended His work which He had done, and He rested on the seventh day from all His work which He had done. We learn about what that means even with the Ten Commandments, with the children of Israel were given that. Now, the Sabbath is referenced many times throughout Scripture in the Old Testament. It's a biblical practice for God's people to have a physical rest. Now, as New Testament believers, we understand there is the importance of physical rest, but our ultimate rest, thank God, is in Jesus Christ. We don't have to work for our salvation. We're resting completely in Him. And we serve faithfully because of the rest we have in Him. But it is the secular definition is just a period of time during which someone does not work at his or her regular job and is able to rest, travel, do research, etc. That was Merriam-Webster. So we understand that aspect. And here the purpose is, as we read in this account of Elijah, God wants all His servants to finish well. And it's important that as we understand, even the Lord Jesus took time to rest. He wants His servants to do that. As I mentioned earlier, it is a 24/7 commitment to care and nurturing the congregation. And the pastor is supposed to be and should be a giver every day. And there comes a time where he must also receive. So the primary intent of a Sabbath rest like this is to abstain completely from the everyday task and that element. It is a time to rejuvenate the mind, body, and soul, be nourished and renewed from the everyday worry. And I have to admit, I'm doing this with fear and trembling because I have a tendency to think about all the things that are going on and need to be tended to, people that need to be called, people that need to be visited. And that's a good thing. I want to be that way. But even when I go on vacation, I'm constantly thinking, I need to call them. And answer that call. And so this is going to be one where again, it's going to be a longer period of time to seek not to do the everyday type of ministry. It's a time for running away in some regards from the everyday problems and perplexities, an opportunity to receive grace, to face them, renew fellowship with God, to come back with a renewed commitment for long term, for longevity and serving the Lord. And he lists five reasons for a pastoral sabbatical. The first one was simply rest. This is the number one priority for a pastoral sabbatical, and it should be. It's what the word Sabbath means. And we look at this, does everyone need rest? Absolutely. But pastors tend to need it in a focused and deliberate way for two reasons. One, pastors are always on. The burden of shepherding never lifts. The Apostle Paul spoke of the daily pressure of concern of all the churches. And the only way to relieve this pressure is to unplug from the normal rhythms of life and ministry for a season. And secondly, pastors and others in Christian ministry are, to what I would understand, are the only people whose job performance depends on a strong, vibrant spiritual life. The average Christian can practice their vocation in the flesh. We all could do that and still do well by their employer. But a pastor, but not a pastor. Rest and renewal is crucial for maintaining a fresh, dynamic, and vital communion with the Holy Spirit. So in other words, it's that opportunity to be able to step behind this pulpit. I can't effectively pastor in the flesh. Not only to rest, but to recharge for the spiritual warfare that's at hand. We know that we are not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against powers, against the forces of darkness. We're in a battle. And a pastor's on the front lines of this battle. And I count it a great honor. It's not a complaint. I love being on the front lines. Not because I think I'm deserving to be on the front lines. It's just where the Lord has put me to be there with you. When you're facing spiritual warfare, when you're down and you're whatever's going on and there's loss and there's grieving. And I thank God I get to do the celebratory things as well. I get to celebrate victories with you. And I love that. But I love being there with you side by side. And this time, as we understand, this is the purpose of coming off the front lines just for an occasional time. And he mentioned the illustration of a soldier comes apart at time to time to clean his gun, take a hot shower and eat a few good meals and recharge his leadership batteries. That's to recharge, but also to reflect. Pastors spend much of their time and energy focusing out there externally rather than in here internally. Deliberate rhythms of solitude, silence, and Sabbath are crucial if a pastor is to be as attentive to the health of his own soul as he is to the souls of others. So the idea of reflecting was to be able to give the pastor or give me some time to really an extended time for purposeful introspection and reflection. They used to tell us in Bible college that the easiest place to backslide is in Bible college because the Bible became a textbook. And I didn't understand that at first, but then I realized it's true. And I have found I can say the same thing about a pastor in the pastoral life. Sometimes pastor can just be about preparing for that next message. Just trying to crank out an outline. We got just for the month coming and whatever the case may be. That's not sustainable. You can't do that and be effectively in spiritual warfare. It's just being able to reflect and then to refocus. The present has a way of trumping the future. The pressing concerns of right now tend to dull a leader's vision, pulling his mind towards what's immediate, what's going on right now, instead of thinking about the future of the church, the future needs of the church, the future, just the vision of the church. Where are we going? What is God leading us to do? And that helps simply to get a greater focus for the road ahead. And then there's the fifth one is to renew. This is a continuous spiritual renewal is the key to a vibrant and effective church. And renewal in the church begins with renewal in its leaders. So the ultimate goal of sabbatical is individual renewal in the pastor's soul, which often spurs broader renewal in the church at large. So renewed worship, renewed joy, renewed purpose, renewed energy, renewed love for God and others. Just a wonderful renewal there. This was interesting. In 2008, the Louisville Institute commissioned a research survey of 250 pastors who had taken a sabbatical. Among the findings was this. 87% of pastors reported that the sabbatical significantly renewed their commitment to ministry. 94% of church members claimed that their pastor seemed refreshed and re-energized after the sabbatical. 75% of congregations reported that a pastoral sabbatical tangibly benefited the life of the church, not just the life of the pastor. 80% of pastors who took a sabbatical considered the gift of time the single most important feature of their sabbatical. Quite interesting there. This is what a pastoral sabbatical says about you as a church. It says that you value the eternal over the temporal, that you value the call of God upon your pastor. It's more time to get geared up for the next years that the Lord has us ministering together. You value the testimony of your pastor, his wife, and their marriage and their home. You value the training discipleship opportunity for those other leaders in the church. As I will be leaving for several weeks, it's going to be opportunity for you all to step up and minister as members of the church, the deacons and the Sunday school teachers, and just if you don't have a specific ministry, it just gives an opportunity for the church to say, you know what, we have to look out for each other. We have to care for one another. Because it's not just the pastor's job, you know, to do those things. It certainly is my job to do it, but to train you as well to do that work. You value the use of spiritual gifts and people utilizing those things. And so I want to thank you because I know that you do value this. And I just feel like this year has, for whatever reason, the Holy Spirit has just given me this year. I don't know. I can't really explain it with words, but I just believe this year is going to be very significant. And to do it at one time instead of splitting it up. I believe the Lord's been preparing you for this and me for this, and I think it's going to be very good to the glory of God. So you may ask, well, what are you going to be doing, Pastor? What are you going to be doing in your time? Well, first thing, my first priority is rest, to unplug. And that's going to be one of my goals. You pray for me in that because my mind is not going to want to do that. I'm going to be constantly thinking upon some things I probably need to be doing for the ministry, but I want to rest. We'll be visiting other churches. We'll be faithful to the local church ministry. We'll find some other churches that are like-minded in our area and attend them and worship with them, and so that we can be fed, so that we can make some spiritual decisions ourselves. That's our plan. That's what we want to do. We're going to do some reading. I've told Joanna we've already talked about some books that we'd like to read during our time, just again for personal spiritual growth. There'll be some praying. I'm still going to pray for you. I'm still going to pray for you by name. I'm still going to be lifting you up before the Lord, the things I know you're going through. I'm going to be praying for our church, praying for my own heart. There'll be continuing work at our marriage. Joanna and I, just the life. Sometimes she does excellent at it. Thank you, and thank y'all so much for honoring her the other day. That was truly heartfelt. It made a great impact on my life that you would honor Joanna. But there's sometimes where I feel like I don't see her for a few days, except at night when I come in to go to bed. But she's very patient. But this will give us some quality time to just work on our marriage, areas that we know we need to work on, and so we plan on doing that. I will be keeping you up to date. My plan is to send a message each week that can, you know, possibly be sent out by email, but just to let you know how I'm doing, let you know how some things we're learning as we're doing that, because I want you to know that it's God's doing a work. Things God's teaching us. I'd like to share that with you during that time. You can be praying for us. We'll be visiting family. We're going to spend some time. The very first week, Joanna and I are going to be going out of town together. My mom's coming up and going to be with the kids. And I don't know. The kids are still saying, Dad, we can't miss Master Clubs. So you may see them. If we're in town, the kids may drop in. But you know, we're going to spend a few days away. Then we're going to go visit my mom over in South Carolina, spend some time with them, my siblings. that I don't get to see very much. And just again, just some of those things that we hope to do. Joanna's family may come down as well. We're still talking about that. And so that's what we'll be doing. And I pray that we'll be faithful in doing that. Now, what about you? What are you going to be doing? Well, I believe you're going to be doing a great job. You're going to be doing a great work. I believe you'll be praying for us. I really believe that. I believe you'll pray for our family, that God will just revive us and bring us back renewed and ready to go. But praying for one another, looking out for each other. I'm not paranoid at all about leaving. I feel like the church is healthy. And I say that humbly. I don't say that being bragging or being arrogant. I just believe that I see genuine love throughout this congregation right here. A genuine care for one another. And I'm so thankful for that. And so I realize, you say, well, what happens when the shepherd leaves? Don't the wolves come around? Well, I just happen to know that there's some of you folks in here that know how to handle those wolves. And I don't think that would happen. Again, this is just talking about several weeks. We're not talking about several months. But the fact of the matter is I hope you'll just continue inviting people to church, continue soul winning, outreach, just seeking to be a blessing where you can, use your spiritual gifts, step in and serve where you can, volunteer. What can we do to help? Just be faithful. I'm just going to share my heart with you. One thing the word's failing me, but one of the things I hope that does not happen is that attendance takes a big drop. I hope that you'll realize, because if that happens, that doesn't speak well of my leadership. Because I hope and pray that you're not coming for me. I hope you realize you're coming to the chief shepherd of this church. His name is Jesus Christ. So I hope you will come because you love the Lord Jesus and you love His church, His body. And you will be faithful to all the services that you possibly can. Just be faithful. Be faithful to continue to be there with the fellowships and to reach out. It's greatly important for you to do that. Get involved in your Sunday school class. If you're not currently attending one, attend one. Make it a good starting point. And just make sure you don't give God the leftovers of your life. Many churches now are moving towards just giving God the leftovers instead of first place. And I don't believe you're going to do that. I believe you're going to stay faithful. And so, you know, one of the things that Brother Cunningham would say, and the Lord has helped us at the past couple months. Joanne and I have made it our date night, Monday nights. It's kind of one of our New Year's resolutions, you know, that we got to get a date night in. Because otherwise, when we say, well, we'll try to get it in this week, when we have that attitude, it never happens. But when you say, this night, unless something really urgent comes up, or, you know, something that we just have to tend to, we're going to make Monday nights our date night. And so the Lord has helped us with that. In fact, honey, I'm looking forward to tomorrow night, okay? And we just get to go and just get a bite to eat and just be able to talk just about life. And one of the things that the pastor mentioned that he tells his girls when they were little and they would take the sabbatical, he would say this. He said, kids, we're going away to make a better home for you. That stood out to me. In other words, they're keeping their marriage fresh and hot and just full of love and unity. And that's that's what a sabbatical is. The pastor, when he takes this time and the local church gives him that time, he's going away with his family to come back to make a better local church, to help it be healthier, I should say. It's the Lord who's going to make the difference. But I just want to personally thank you for, again, your willingness and your desire, I should say, to do this. And we want to be in touch. Now, it is my thought, some people will say, well, what if something really bad happens? What if one of the members graduates to glory? Are you just going to stay gone? Well, I'm just going to tell you right now, if I'm in the country, I will come to that. I will come apart and minister in that time period. It is my heart as a pastor that if someone in our church were to graduate on to glory, I'm going to be here for that. That's what God's called me to do. Okay? What I'm talking about in this sabbatical is the everyday ministry things where I will be unplugging from. But when there's a big emergency like that, the deacons will keep me up to date if anything like that needs to know. So I'm not just going to totally, shut out and shut off. I will not be doing that. I will say this, and there will be the deacons. Right now it's the finance committee. It's the three. We'll be adding a deacon. So there'll be a total of four next Sunday. And those guys will be on call 24 hours. And that's the thing about a deacon ministry. If the pastor's not available, they got to be on call if they're able to minister. And so they will be. And you'll have their names and you'll know them. You already do. And you'll be able to reach out to them. If you have a need in your life, a prayer need, a physical need, anything like that, you'll be able to reach out to them and say, could you pray for this or help us with this? Or what do you suggest at counsel, that type of thing? And of course, you just have each other in the church, and that's how we will handle that. And again, if it's urgent, I'm giving them clear instructions to reach out to me. And so that's what I'm going to do. And I'll give them a number. And what my plan is, I don't know if I'll be able to accomplish this, but one of my goals is to totally shut down my phone so that I'm not, what do they call it? Scrolling. I don't want to spend my sabbatical scrolling. We'll have a phone number that can be reached, but I just want to not be on really even on the internet. I just want to come apart with just me and my Lord and my family, and just be able to focus on my heart being ready and right with God, and that's my goal. And so that is something that's going to be a discipline for me, because I do. There are some things that I just will have to work on during this time. So, will you pray for me, church? I appreciate it. I'm going to need it, and it'll go by like that. 3 weeks will go by. Now, listen. I'm going to tell you right now. If I go to a church and you're there, you're in trouble. Oh, me. But I will be praying for you and lifting you up, and I know God's going to use it in your life too.